This is episode number 16 of the Obsessive Creative Podcast. This is a community of relentless creators, and here we talk about what it's like to be compelled and obsessed to create work that matters. And of course, we stay away from stressful topics like social media, business development, and taxes. I'm your host, Luke Leland, and you can stay up to date on all things obsessive and creative by following me on Instagram at LukeWTCleland. Let's get into the show. Okay, before we get into the interview with Julia, I just want to say that I am so proud of you. I got a message from one of you, the listeners. His name is Ryan T, and he says, in regards to the last episode, episode 15, moldy cheese, 100% safe to tear off moldy parts and eat the rest. My dad, a cheese expert, does it. What? Okay, so I'm going right back to saving my partly moldy cheese and eating it. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you should listen to the last episode and then it'll make sense. This week, we're talking to the very talented Julia Riffle, and I'm really excited to share this conversation with you guys. All right, Julia, thanks so much for being with me today and chatting on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Julia is a very talented designer, artist, jewelry maker, all of the things that we're going to talk about today. Start us off, tell us a little bit about, what your creative journey has been and how you got to be the Julia you are today.
So I am the creator and owner of Spectrum Handcrafted. And I started that about 8 years ago. It was right after, really, you shot our wedding. It was a really rough year. And I had a job that I really despised. I was a receptionist at a life insurance firm, very small one. And so that was not my dream job as a graphic designer coming right out of school. You know, you have all these big plans, these big dreams, and then you're sitting at a desk typing up these terrible, terrible posters to give to people on behalf of other people and taking phone calls and all this stuff. So basically, like, life kind of just didn't start out how I really thought. On top of that, we were living in like a horrible, horrible neighborhood, like a terrifying neighborhood. And so every day was just like fearful walking to my car and then walking back from my car at the end of the day, and then getting up crazy early. Okay, so I'm not a morning person. Like, morning is not my time to be creative or just even happy. So for this job, I had to get up early. And it was funny because Carlton was a teacher at the time, and he had to leave for work really early. And I couldn't really be by myself at the apartment without being afraid for my life. So I basically left when he did to go to work, and then I would sleep under my desk at the office for like 40 minutes and then like get ready for the day. And it was just really depressing.
You just like take a little like cat nap.
I was like so scared my boss would find me hiding under my desk, being asleep in the morning. I was the first one there though, so you know, I just take my toothbrush and all that. Anyways, so that's how my life as a designer started out. So that on top of that was my everyday, and just having a job that literally just sucks the life out of you, that you hate, and I know a lot of people can relate to that. That are creatives, like when you have all this inside of you that you just want to make stuff and create stuff and explore art and design, and you're just shut out, like you can't do it. And by the end of the day, you're so emotionally exhausted by just life and a job that you have to live. it was just like wearing me really down. So after about 2 years, I kind of knew something had to change. And so Carlton, being the Carlton that he is, he was inventing a printing press out of an old treadmill and children's bicycles. And so he was doing this at a woodshed.
Which, like, sounds crazy, but if you know your husband,
it actually
works. It's like, it makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. Everyday things. And so he would do that nights in between like two other freelance jobs that he would work at night. And so I, of course, went with him because I wasn't going to stay home alone. So the thing is that, like, we walk in this woodshed and it's infested with black widows. Like, I mean, infested. And so I'm going from like one scenario where I feel like my life is in danger to literally putting my life
in
danger.
What is happening?
And I'm like, oh man, but it was better than feeling like someone was going to come murder me. I would just take a stool and find the biggest area that didn't have anything around. I'd just sit on it and watch him work. So I just got bored, essentially. That's how Spectrum started. I got bored. I started looking around, looking at all the tools that they had there, the bandsaw, just so much was packed in that room. Like, what is this? What does this do? Like, I'm just going to start fiddling with some stuff to see, you know, what becomes of it. So that's really how it started. I started making jewelry, out of wood mainly, and, just kind of evolved into a business. So really building a business was the solution for finding a sense of harmony between sustaining everyday life for me and creatively preserving my artistic side.
It was really like in terms of like you were just like tinkering, and then because of the kind of creative you were, out of that like tinkering, things just like started to happen.
Just started. And then yeah, I was like, well, I can sell this. I'm like, if I can sell my art, then maybe I don't have to work at a job that I hate. And so it went from that. I started actually working them part-time as an elementary art teacher while I was trying to get my business off the ground, doing small shows and selling my jewelry. And I was like, it just kind of took off from there. So really, to get to this day and time, I don't know, the company is about somewhere between 8 and 10 years old. I kind of didn't like set a start date. But jewelry is the vehicle for my creative bent. I don't really actually like being titled a jewelry designer, because in my mind, that doesn't really make, like, a jewelry designer is not how I see myself as a creative. I just create jewelry.
Jewelry happens to be your canvas. Like,
it is my canvas. And I mean, it is my, I have to be making something with my hands. Like, even as a graphic designer, that was never really something I saw myself doing, is sitting at a desk and even creating, sitting at a desk and creatively making things for other people that were just digital art or you know, just ads or whatever. Like, that was not me. I just had to get out of my chair, get my hands messy. So really that was a way of doing that. It's kind of like sculpture, I guess, in a way. You're taking materials and forming them.
Because creativity is very much part of like your life as who you are.
Yeah.
And so how did you find kind of like creating a business with like your life as a creative in general? Like, how do those things kind of like interact with each other?
I guess really it goes back to that idea of survival. For me, I knew, because it's like you're talking about being obsessively creative or just being obsessed by creating in general. It's part of who we are. It's ingrained in us. And in some ways, I just think God has put more of a bent of that desire in certain people's hearts. And it that's a drive. It drives us. We'll go crazy if we can't create something. I think for me, it's one of the hardest things I think about being a creative is honestly giving ourselves permission and room to fail. We are our biggest critics, and it's something that we're always thinking about. How do we make this thing better? How do we solve this problem creatively?
Oh man, especially when you like look at your brand now and see where you are, I am sure like it's like building a brand, especially from an individual artist, like versus like a commercial brand that you see that just like drops and all of a sudden they have four stores, and it's like the difference between those two worlds are very different. But a lot of people don't like realize that. And I feel like as an individual, there's probably a lot of pressure to have this kind of like fully unified brand and style that's fully developed, and it's like, but I've started this 3 weeks ago. Like, so what?
I changed my brand like four times. I feel like within the first 2 years.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Oh,
so what
like
was
this color, or
what was that process of kind of like, yeah, like facing, you know, maybe at the beginning where it's just like, oh, I'm just like playing around with things, to like, oh, how can I like make this the best thing? Like, how did that make this the best thing that, like, I know how to do? Like, what was that process like?
Yeah. It was hard. It's funny because, like, coming fresh out of design school, you kind of feel like you have a grasp on on things.
You're like, I know how to design. Like,
I know how to brand a company. Yes, I can design 500 logos, and I have. So clearly, this should be a piece of cake. But it's so, so much harder when you are your own client. You are defining, like, your brand is you. Like, you're not just doing this for somebody else. You're not just creating a word board for somebody to be like, hey, pick the five adjectives that best describe you and that will give me direction. You're really defining who you are as an artist as at the same time as a brand. So that was time, honestly. Time was the element, which we hate. I mean, I hate waiting. Like, I'm not a very patient person. So it's just really taking something and then of making it evolve alongside your work. Because we evolve as artists, just because we're people. I mean, people evolve. Like, we grow. Like, I haven't had one single year of my life remotely look similar to each other.
And when you mean time, it was that, like, that was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to, like, make, like, what did that look like? I'm going to make a decision and then see what that looks like? Or, like, I'm going to make the best decision I can about the look of this or whatever. And then, like, what do you mean by time?
Yeah, it's honestly just like mulling it over. It was just finally just making a decision, like, okay, this is what my brand's going to look like. This was what I want it to feel like. This is what I want someone to experience when they come across my work. So that was kind of like picking really a style, which is really, really hard when you're confused at what you like, really, because I like so many things. I mean, it's probably my biggest struggle as a creative, one that I've had since I think I was a teenager, is this conflict between designer and artist. And really, I'm just kind of coming to terms with it now, because, as you know, we designed and built our own home in the past year, well, really 2 years, and it's still being kind of built. When you have to make big decisions with things, you're really thinking through things from all angles, and you just want it to be the best that it can be, because, like, we want to strive for excellence. You know, when you're working on a painting, or even in you know, school, when we had like something we were trying to finish up, and you just want to keep tweaking it. You want to keep tweaking it because you're like, okay, I'm going to let it set because I know I'll see something later that I need to fix. So it's been an interesting It's funny because it's not a new concept. It really isn't. And I'm kind of like embarrassed that I haven't really fleshed it out until now. But really, if you really want to look at it, design is more strategic and art is more intuitive. And it has an element of conviction to it. For me, life, art, work, they're not separate. They're all one thing for me. And I kind of approach everything with the same mindset. I really don't divide it into categories or boxes. For me, curiosity and creative conviction, they are the key element for the vitality of any kind of meaningful work.
What were some things that like helped you get from like 1 year to the next without feeling like that's the decisions I made, like how, like forget it, like
yeah,
what are some things that helped you get from like 1 year, or like helped you make like just the next decision?
Well, honestly, it was just because it really goes back to curiosity and innovation. I get bored really easily, and I love discovering new things. I love trying to make things do maybe things that they weren't meant for, and just to see if they would. So for me, like materializing that in my business with jewelry, I change up my collections pretty much every 3 months, which is pretty standard for the retail world when you're really looking at collections in general. Like that's just kind of how it is. Now you have like pre-fall collections and pre-summer collections, and the summer collection, I'm like, okay, calm down. We don't need all those. But for me, it really is just, I don't want to do the same thing over and over again. I don't want to just work in brass. I just don't want to work in just wood. I want to explore, you know, other materials like glass and acrylics, and I want to like melt stuff, and I want to carve stuff, and all these things I want to try. And so really that was like creatively leading me from one decision to the next, because once you do that, you still have to make it into something wearable and something that other people would like to wear. And that moves them obviously enough to purchase it. And for me, my jewelry is more of the art form instead of just like putting out a necklace and being like, oh, that's pretty. Granted, you will have that because we all can't just create masterpieces endlessly all the time. But to be able to like make something off a concept of like how light reflects off of something to create contrast, and that is what creates that piece. And that's what it makes special. And you make that happen. That kind of drives my decisions a lot.
Really, your designing is so much based off like your current curiosity, or like yeah, what you want to like discover, and which is amazing, because you see, like you can tell through your work, it's very like, it's like even from collection to collection, like it's like you're bringing in different materials, and you're like, you're putting like completely new, like, yeah, new looks. I don't know much about jewelry, but like it looks like it's definitely looks like it's from the hand of like an artist and not like jewelry producer. Like these are like pieces of like artwork as opposed to like shelling out like, yeah, the next season of things, which is really, really cool to see. So going back to what you mentioned about having like this kind of struggle of like artist and like designer.
Honestly, the struggle for me is there because like I crave the elements of both, because, and they do overlap in so many ways. We need both. We need both the mentality of balance and structure and all the things that the design side has, like the designer in me, you know, like it's kind of like pounded in like, okay, for like typefaces, you know, kerning needs to look like this. Letting needs to look like this. Page layout needs to look like this. And it's very, very structured. And I love structure. and it's just funny because like I was sitting there, I'm like, why is this I had to ask myself, why is this such a point of contention for me? Like, I feel like I should be both. I should be both artist. I should be both designer. But I also felt like I couldn't because I would be taking sides. And if I took a side, that means I had to give up something on that other side. And that would be settling. And, you know, as creators, like, settling is like death. We don't settle. It either is or it is not. It's either, you know, like, an artist wouldn't be like, paint something and be like, ah, I kind of like it. I guess I'll just put it out in the gallery and be okay with it. No, it would eat at us.
And is that because of the business you're in? Like, there's a certain, like, I don't know, like, a feeling of expectation? Or where does this, like, pull come from?
It's the pull of feeling like, I feel like we need a need to define ourselves in some way. Like, as an artist, what does that look like? What is my style going to be? What am I going to be known for or like recognized for or whatever? I mean, it's just like that creative peer pressure. I think that's actually very present in creative communities because you're looking at all these people that are so-called, you know, famous for whatever reason. They're not celebrities, but within the community world, they are celebrities. And, I feel like it's such a comparative world. You know what I mean? It's
especially now when creative businesses have become like the vogue, where like it's so popular now to like have a creative side business. Maybe it's always been that way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem that way, mostly because like the availability to have customers now is a lot easier because you can just like
accessibility.
Sell.
Yeah, yes.
And so, and then with that, you have these people that are able to create, and I think we can see it in your work, like this really cohesive brand of this thing that you've created that looks like wow, like. This is who Julia is. But by definition of being a creative, like the ability, I think this is what I've been thinking a lot too, is like the ability that gave you, like the ability that you had to create something that looks like that is also the same ability that is like pushing you to like create something else or to like push yourself in different directions and like and do different things. And so it's this weird like on the business front you have to have this kind of like this like you're creating something for people to enjoy and to see and to like yeah to buy or whatever it is, but then actually from the creator point of view, if you're someone who falls into the obsessive category, you're always wanting to like innovate and do the next thing and like is this showing every part of me or like, you know,
right.
Like,
well, and that's why I honestly, yeah, I don't love being labeled as just a jewelry designer because there's so much out there that's not jewelry. And it's not necessarily my need to be recognized for everything else. It's just my idea of like a creative, like the heartbeat is for me, like going back to that creative conviction, like nothing, if you're not doing it with conviction, with a sense of this, that obsessiveness, that soul, then why are you doing it? Like exactly like what's the purpose? And if you can't answer that with a crazy answer,
That's so interesting. So it maybe comes from, which is very similar to, I think, my own answer of like, why, you know, when I say like, I'm a photographer, do I feel fully like satisfied about something like that? Well, I think as time goes on, I feel less like a photographer because like half the world would call themselves a photographer at this point, right? And so, which is fine because, you know, lots of people take lots of photos and that's awesome. Like, I love that so many people are taking photos, but I don't see myself as like a shutter taker. And like, what would you see? Like, I'm guessing you have a pretty strong view of like what makes like good jewelry as opposed to like a thing that was like shot out.
Right.
And like, yeah, well, so you're saying like, so I think you're saying good jewelry isn't fired out for.
It's art. Yeah. Good. And, but that's also has to be within your definition of what is jewelry and for yourself. I mean, jewelry is adornment, and let's be honest, it's not a necessity. It's a, like a less a luxury item, but it's to me, I'm not necessarily, when I go in to create something, I'm not going with the mindset of like, how can I best sell this? You're going to have, when you have a business, you do have to have a strategic mindset. And that's just the nature of the beast. But my heart and soul of why I keep doing this is because of my love of curiosity and forming things with that passion of creation. And it's just this, I mean, it's an age-long question of like, why do we create things and why does it even matter? You know what I mean? Like, if I create this, why does it matter? And you can really dig yourself into a pit if you're thinking about it just materialistically. So it has to go from being tangible to intangible. And for one of the things that has been the most fulfilling lately is, when we bought the 9 acres here, it was a disaster. It was 2 houses condemned on it, trailers, barns that were just full of trash. I mean, it was neglected. It was all like overgrown with everything. Like just random. I mean, these people basically treated it like a landfill and would throw their trash in the woods, like bags of it, mattresses, tires, you name it. They threw it in the woods, bags of batteries. Like, come on, like, what are you doing? And that's like kind of a whole other thing. Like this build is just like the whole process of idea of restoring something to its original beauty and then finding beauty in it to take and then have it keep going, having that be fuel and to grow in a direction. At finding these old trees that have fallen down or been cut down and then cutting them up essentially. So, you know, like the woodshed, that was my start. And so my heart is always going to be within wood. I just love the grain of it, the unique piece. Every piece of wood is unique because every tree is unique. Finding that something that looks so ugly is rotting away, forgotten, and pulling it up, ripping the bark off, cleaning it up, brushing off all the junk, sanding it down, and having this beautiful design just come through. Like, it's just there. And it's like, wow, like, that's amazing. And then taking that and making something from it and almost respecting that and just taking something that was dead and forgotten and restoring it, giving it new life. And so my mind, if you can do that with an idea, within a concept, that's huge. Like, so just don't look at the actual materialization of something. If that's all you can see, then you need to open your eyes a little bit wider and look at that, create the conviction that's behind it.
If you'd like to see more of Julia's beautiful work, you can go to her website, spectrum-style.com, and you can also follow her on Instagram at spectrumhandcrafted. And I'm going to put those in the show notes below. Thank you so much for listening this week. I hope each episode encourages you to lean into who you are as a creative and really do work that matters. If you've enjoyed the podcast, I would love for you to leave a review and a rating. It really does help so much. And until next week, stay obsessed.